Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today on the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Nicole.
I'm so excited to have Danielle on with us today. Danielle is one of my biz besties, and she is a marketing genius. I'm super, super, super excited to have her on. For those of you that don't know, Danielle's actually based in Korea right now. So getting this recorded was quite a challenge of working with three different time zones. So I'm super, super pumped to be doing this right now. So Danielle, tell us a little bit about what got you into marketing and why you love it.
Oh, thanks for having me, girls. Thank you.
We're so excited to have you.
Me too. Okay, so why I got into marketing. I've always loved marketing. And I was very fortunate that I was in a family of entrepreneurs. Both my grandparents own their own businesses. And when I was about 9 years old, they recognized that I was very money driven. And I spent every summer holiday with my grandparents. And one of my grandparents, he owned an Italian marble and granite business. And he would take me to work because my parents both worked full time. And I started off making tea for them, as I'm British, so we drink a lot of tea. But then he started getting me to cold call hotels to offer his services when I was 9 years old. And I got really good at this, and he got a number of leads, and we did a deal where I would get a percentage. So I started making really good money when I was about 10 years old through my grandparents' business. And then every summer holiday from then on, I'd help them out until I was about 15, and I got a job working in a office during the summers, because in the UK you can work. So I've always loved marketing, and throughout university I had marketing internships, and I also worked as a Red Bull girl for a little while to try and have my knowledge of marketing. And just as I progressed throughout my working career, I just always had a passion for marketing. It's kind of always been there.
I love that, because starting young means that you have so much knowledge in this industry right now. Knowing that you started with cold calling and kind of where the industry is like in present day, what is by far like your number one tip for people who are just starting out in business? If like they were to try and at least do one thing in marketing, what would it be?
So for me, my number one tip would be all about market research. So really understand who you are marketing to and what you're marketing. And the best way that you can do that is through talking to people. And there's all sorts of ways that you can talk to people. But if you, for example, wanting to create a business where you sell to mums, get on the phone with mums, go and meet mums, go and do mum groups, go to cafes, observe mums doing what they're doing. Just the more time you can interact with your potential kind of ideal client, the better. And just find any way that you can to do that market research. Big corporations, they spend, millions on market research. You can do it for free and do it quite easily. And it really helps you to refine your brand and refine your offering.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like when you were younger and you were doing kind of your grandfather's market research by cold calling hotels, that this is not something that truly has changed a lot. It's just the avenue at which you're able to reach those kind of market analysis and competitors and everything like that because of social media and online marketing and everything.
Completely agree. I remember when I was, so my very first kind of official job out of college working in marketing was marketing Axe body spray. And I spent a lot of time observing teenage boys buying body spray in their kind of natural habitats, hanging out with places. It's kind of creepy now to say that, but I really felt like I had a really great understanding of them, because I spent at least half a day a week connect, like going out to shopping malls and just observing how teenage boys interacted, and going to in the UK we had kind of nightclubs for under 18s where they go, so no alcohol, but and it was a really great place to observe them, kind of 16-year-old young adults trying to impress women, so kind of the awkwardness around that, and you could really understand that tension so that we were able to market acts better to them and kind of as an ally and a confidence booster.
Kind of love when we both breathe in to say something and then let anything out.
No, I figured you were going to go, but I just got really excited because I love acts.
You know, listening to this, first of all, hearing some of this, some of it, it's the first time I've heard it, and it's kind of cool to hear it because I never knew you worked for your grandparents and you started out doing cold calls. I knew about the act stuff.
Yeah.
It's true. Cold calls is all new, which was really cool because for me, hearing this gives a whole other perspective on the marketing. Like, I mean, I've known from the professional side of your marketing where you started with working for other companies like Axe and everything and how that's grown. But hearing where it started back when you were 10, it gives a different perspective because not only have the avenues changed, but you've seen the changes in marketing across the board. Yeah. I mean, there's always the underlying rules and things that work, but the ways of presenting things have changed over the years. But also it's kind of like you started from the ground up. Like when in the olden days they talked about like start in the mailroom and work up to the CEO position, you started cold calling for grandpa at 10. It's awesome.
I was very fortunate. I didn't realize at the time how fortunate I was. But I have been very fortunate. With both my sets of grandparents worked really, really hard, and they both were the big thing for me that I try and install in my own business is it's all about relationships. So relationship building, and it's all about having a relationship with your customer. So no matter what you're selling or what you're offering, marketing is all about creating a relationship, a authentic relationship with your customer. And I think that's tried and tested. It doesn't matter how the channels have emerged, and those core principles will always remain the same.
And I think it's true. A lot of the times with those authentic relationships, it starts with that first interaction that you have with someone. So it's really being able to not just get your message across, but making that customer or that person feel like they are either a part of the journey or a part of that quote unquote family, in the sense of whatever you're selling, whether it's a product or service, that they have a say in it or they have a part in it right off the bat, regardless of if they buy from you. And from there, building that know, like, and trust factor.
Exactly. Exactly.
What are some, and this is kind of a completely off topic one, but what are some of your favorite brands that kind of embrace that authentic relationship building?
Oh, that's a really good question. Really good question.
Put her on the spot, why don't you?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
There's so many, but it's the key is that authentic relationship building. You know, it might be a little bit cliche, but Ben and Jerry's, I think, did such a good job at this. Now they've been purchased by a big corporation, they're kind of less exciting and dynamic, but they're still installing those principles. And the reason I really love Ben & Jerry's is because everything they did was based on consumer feedback, and they spent a lot of time and they had these awesome uber creative ideas, but they really made sure that they were constantly talking to consumers, that they had, you know, consumers had an open line to give feedback. If you gave feedback at any point on the phone, or if you gave feedback in a, you know, in an ice cream shop, it got back to them. And that's how they've been able to keep such a great connection with their brand and be so exciting, but authentically them. So kind of authentically eccentric. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting that I worked for Unilever when they acquired Ben & Jerry's, and everybody wanted to go work for them. Wanted to move to Ben & Jerry's, and they were really strict on who they would recruit, and basically no one I knew got to move over to work in the marketing department because they wanted people that truly lived and breathed the values of Ben & Jerry's rather than the people that the other the other ones of us, which were maybe a little bit more corporate, that we were selling the Axe and we were doing the Dove and we were doing kind of all the Knorr and those kind of bigger brands. They wanted kind of people that are a little bit more entrepreneurial and a little bit more dynamic and highly creative.
That's amazing. And I think that's a great example too, because Ben & Jerry's is probably one of the quintessential companies that really do listen to their customers because of the fact that they're able to create those different flavors based off of those feedbacks and based off of the research and time that they put in to really make sure not only is it a flavor that they're going to enjoy and make money for them, but that their customers have already kind of put that stamp of approval on because they've been able to test it. So I think to kind of give our audience a little bit more in-depth analysis of kind of your background, I would love to know what is probably one of the things in your long career in marketing, and not saying old career, but just long career, that stands out as probably one of the biggest accomplishments for you.
So this one may not seem on the surface very exciting, but for me, it was. I instantly think of kind of some of the cooler things that I did with Axe. But in terms of an accomplishment, the big thing for me was I worked on a cough and cold pharmaceutical brand. So not glamorous whatsoever, not kind of fun in any way, shape or form. I spoke to a lot of people about nasal sprays. It wasn't very, and how they get upset that nasal sprays drip. So it wasn't very exciting. And there was no really emotional involvement in that category. It was very much problem solution. I have a cold, it makes me feel bad. It stops me from sleeping. It bothers me. And we were a challenger brand. So what a challenger brand means is we were number two in the category and we were fighting against kind of the big Afrins of the world. So the accomplishment was that with the small budget that I had, we were able to have a really big impact in communication by adding a little bit of emotion into the communication, because everybody was doing the norm. Everybody was following this kind of textbook problem solution communication. And for me, what I saw from talking to consumers and talking to the sales reps, so I'd go out for the day with the sales reps and talk to pharmacists, and I'd travel around talking to the teams that were on the ground. And they were saying, you know, this is really dull and we're not getting any connection with people. And all we're doing is fighting them on price. We're not fighting them on anything else other than price. There's no differentiation. And so through really listening and understanding, I was able to work on a completely different new type of advertising for that category that then, so we created some really beautiful ads, but they weren't just beautiful for the sake of being beautiful. They really kind of emotionally connected with people. And, you know, nasal sprays, it's hard to emotionally connect with someone on a nasal spray. And then we launched that across the world, that communication campaign, and I had to work really hard to sell it to the countries, to really, you know, strategically influence them and to get them to support this new move. And we saw, within a year, we saw a global uplift in sales of 43%, which was huge. And so, and it was all down to suddenly we got an emotional connection with a consumer rather than just being, you know, you got a problem, we can fix it. And so for me, that was one of my biggest achievements as a marketeer, because not only was I delivering my sales and way over delivering my sales, I was able to understand how to connect with my consumer, and that's what it's all about.
I'm curious, how exactly did you add emotion into nasal spray?
We basically came up with this creative idea that it's all about breathing. So, and as you know, I love my yoga, and so that kind of gave us a bit of inspiration. But basically, we came up with this creative communication, which is all around the first breath. So like the first breath of life, the first breath when you fall in love, the first breath when you, you know, do that something that really scares you, and the importance of that first breath. And that's how we were able to do it.
I think that's amazing.
It took a while, but I think the lesson there is really to listen and understand, and then just try something a little bit different and really think about that connection with your consumer. Because no matter what, clients always say to me, well, I can't connect like that because I don't have something sexy and exciting and gorgeous. Like you can, if you can make nasal spray, you know, have a connection emotionally with someone, you can make anything. Like dog food, that's one of the most emotionally involved categories in the world. People are, and that's, dog food itself is pretty horrid. But you can have that emotional connection with dog food. You can have it with anything.
I think it's one of those things where it's not that like sexy, pretty, like kind of marketing that everyone's used to, but you were able to create that impact for something that really actually at the core of it comes down to impacting other people's lives. It makes them breathe better if they have a problem.
Yeah.
So for our audience, we are doing something different in January. Danielle is actually going to be our guest for the entire month. Crazy. I know. So we wanted to give you guys a quick introduction, but next week she is coming back and giving you the breakdown of the basics of marketing when it comes to competitor analysis. But she's bringing it back to the basics for competitor analysis next week. So remember to tune in next Tuesday as she is going to be diving into this. BeautifullyBoldPodcast.com for the show notes for this episode and to learn more about Danielle. And go to BeautifullyBoldPodcast.com/Facebook where we will be talking about this in the group all week long. We look forward to having you back in just a week, Danielle.
Thank you.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to BeautifullyBoldPodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.